Last fall, an online library of web pages called the Internet Archive received a National Security Letter, or NSL, from the FBI. It's a secret demand for information, and when the government issues one, the recipient can't talk about it, can't even acknowledge that it exists, except to his or her lawyer. In this case, the FBI wanted the email address, contact information, and usage information for an Internet Archive user. The archive chose not to cooperate and instead was the third recipient of a national security letter to fight the government in court. And this week, the government settled. By now, Internet Archive co-founder Brewster Kahle is well-versed in all things NSL, but last November, when he first heard from his lawyers at the Electronic Frontier Foundation about the FBI's demand, he faced a serious decision.
The Electronic Frontier Foundation, it's like an ACLU for the digital world, wasn't able to call us and tell us about it. They actually had to physically come over because as part of the gag order, the lawyers representing us couldn't use the telephone to discuss this. So the EFF lawyers came over and talked to me about it, and it then put me under a gag order. I couldn't discuss it with the board, any other staff members. I couldn't even discuss the issue with my wife. I had to make a decision of whether to give patron information over to the FBI or do what libraries do and protect their patrons and go against the United States government.
It's hard to even fathom the frustration that you must have felt, but unlike almost everybody else who has gotten such a letter, you did something about it. How did that play out?
The Electronic Frontier Foundation with the ACLU and the Internet Archive decided to file suit to go and stop this demand and get some judicial review. If a judge had gone and said that they need certain information, then we would have tried to comply. But this has gone completely outside of the judicial system as it stood. So we fought back against it, and not only did they decide then to withdraw their information request, they didn't want a judge to decide whether this whole law was constitutional, so they wanted to settle. The only way that we would be willing to settle is so that we could talk about this and remove the gag order.
Now, previously, a recipient of a national security letter did litigate the matter and did win, and the court ruled that such letters are unconstitutional, but the government appealed that ruling, so the final result is pending. In the meantime, what you've done is published what you call a cookbook for how to deal with an NSL should you be unfortunate enough to receive one.
The first step is to go to one of these pro bono firms like EFF and ACLU, and you can file a lawsuit. It's legal, perfectly legal, to push back on these, to get a court to go and say whether it's actually required. And if you go through that, in every circumstance, they've been washed away. So there's now a cookbook of the forms that they use and how you can go about pushing back on these is now all up on public websites.
When you spoke to the EFF about this and discussed your options, did you consider the idea of just going public and risking prosecution from the outset?
No, the jail sentence is kind of onerous, but the wondrous thing is the EFF and the ACLU didn't blink. They said, of course we're going to help you with this. Because imagine what the alternative would be. If I'm running a library, I can't even tell anybody about this. If I started incurring legal bills, I'd have to explain it to the board. There'd be no way to deal with getting this in front of a judge without incurring tens of thousands of dollars.
And yet, when the Congress learned that the FBI has been issuing these letters indiscriminately, Congress didn't seem to get all that exercised about it. I mean, for example, this provision to date has not been repealed. Do you know of any attempts in Congress to deal with this particularly terrifying tool for a federal police agency?
In 2006, they tried to make some exemptions for libraries, but then a library gets served with one of these things. It's still happening, and unfortunately, because of the hyper-secrecy of this, there have been 200,000 of these requests over a course of 4 years. So 50,000 a year are being issued, and there are only three that have actually been challenged.
The FBI, apparently, when they issued the letter to you, did not regard the Internet Archive as a library. I guess, I don't know what they thought of your vast digital repository of, is it every page that has ever appeared on the internet?
Yeah.
But they weren't thinking of it as a library. So when they settled with you, was it because the scales have finally fallen from their eyes and they realize that they have overreached and abused the national security letter privilege, or because they realize they've been caught on a technicality, oh, I guess he's a library after all?
We don't know. The speculation is that they just don't want these cases brought before a judge. And there's perfectly reasonable warrants and subpoena approaches for getting information that you need. These are just a shortcut that they use currently, and they're using it wildly. And that's the reason why we pushed back, so that people can start to see what it is that's going on out there.
All right, Brewster. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you. Appreciate the time.
Brewster Kahle is director and co-founder of the Internet Archive.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.